You're listening to Rosie on the House.
As we head on around back, it is our outdoor living hour, 8 o'clock, third Saturday of the month. We have Jay Harper with the Farm's Choice in studio with us on a... I think it's going to be a pretty clear sky, Jay. We had Dr. Sky in last hour, and you know, I was...
Yeah, you know, it's hard to do gardening after that. My head hurts.
Well, what I was going to ask you is...
I'm glad gardening's not that complicated.
What's above a million is a billion.
Yeah.
And above a billion is a trillion.
Right.
What comes next?
Don't know.
I've looked it up gazillion. Before, but I never remember.
If our national debt keeps going the way it's going, we'll all...
That's what I thought he was talking about.
Yeah, right. It's the only time you talk numbers that big.
Yeah, you know, billion here, billion there. Pretty soon you got real money, right?
God.
Easy to spend when it's not yours.
That's right.
So, the question that I've been waiting all week to ask, because we had an incredible full moon this month, and we've been doing some planting, and the Farmer's Almanac has a lot of planting by moon phases.
Yep.
Have you ever experimented with that?
We had a general manager that's the only way he would, even on our greenhouse crops, if we were sowing seeds or doing transplants, he went by that solely. Successful. So whether that was just coincidence because it was a good time of year to do it anyway, I don't know. But I personally have never really paid that much attention to it. But
and I haven't either, because I have found that my schedule for planting is not very convenient.
I kind of have to do it when I got time to do
exactly.
It. You know, that, you know, so, you know, it just, you know, it is what it is. So if I'm going to do it, it's gonna, you know, I've got it planned, and that, you know, the moon phase, be what it may.
I don't think I could call into work and say, sorry, I can't come in today because of the moon phase and I have to plant my winter vegetables.
That would be an excuse that most HR people would have never heard. Grandpa died again. My cousin's in the hospital. You know, the dog ate my homework stuff, but the moon phase thing, try that on
sometime.
I
see you could double it up with fishing. We're not, you know, Lake Pleasant's less than an hour away from us, and I know a lot of people fish by moon phases. You know what? The moon's at the right place in the sky. I got to plant and fish today. Can't come into work.
That's right. Maybe we'll have to give that a whirl.
my office space might be cleared out for me the next day when I came in.
All the guys that own businesses are just now going, oh, no, you just gave them another reason to not come to work.
Oh, and there's so many in Arizona. It's such a beautiful state and a beautiful time of the year. And, you know, it's there's still plenty. It's a little late, but there's still plenty that we can plant in our gardens if we haven't even got it started yet.
Well, the nice thing about our winter vegetable season is that you can just keep rotating or replanting. You know, so if you've kind of used up all your spinach or chard or lettuce, you just plant another row of it. You know, you've got plenty of time to get a couple more crops of that stuff in. So
most successful garden to date was planted between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it's going to be 70 degrees today, so...
Maybe that's why I spent more time just out enjoying the weather and more time on the garden than any other time. That might have been it.
Well, there's no doubt it's a lot more fun to garden this time of year than it is when it's 110. And in fact, it just almost discouraged people from worrying about much in their garden in the summertime. You know, there's not that many things that really are going to do well. You know, if you're consuming a lot of water just to, you know, struggle through it, maybe it's just give it a break and hit it in the fall again. So, you know, once you've picked that last tomato or zucchini, about the middle of July, you know, hang it up, go on vacation.
That's where all your canning comes into place. If you have a proper harvest, you know, your canned goods will last you through until your next planting season.
Right. Right. Yeah, you can't do everything year round. I mean, the people up north are under a foot of snow. They don't try and, you know, find ways to grow stuff. They've canned it or put it away, or they just have to rely on what's available in the market. And, you know, and luckily these days there are a lot more good options with greenhouse grown stuff and things you can buy that are vine ripened that weren't available before. So it's a great opportunity to be able to use fresh vegetables just year round, you know, whether they're in season in your area or not.
If you'd like to join the conversation or ask a question about your landscape or garden, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Text can be sent to 411-923, or you can snap a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like a little help with some plant or insect identification.
I'm nurse, if you don't mind me interrupting your outdoor living hour. Most of you know I'm not known for my gardening. My gardening tools really constitute a flamethrower and a chainsaw. But convalescing and recovering from the crash, I had lots of time to get really, really bored. So to eat that up.
Are you saying gardening's boring?
No.
Oh.
I'm not. I went outside and I just churned up the soil. I got the Harper's soil admixture formula, dumped it in there, and I planted a garden. It was just a matter of never having enough time.
Yeah.
I need recipes. I finally found something Rosie Romero can grow. John Jay, I've got the most unbelievable crop of arugula you could ever imagine.
Well, there you go.
And I've only got one recipe. I need Rosie's in desperate need of arugula recipes.
Something tells me you're about to be inundated.
Oh, man, I need them bad.
Just find everyone in the neighborhood that has a turtle and start selling it.
I just go out in the backyard, look at my garden, and I giggle. That's the first time it's been green.
So, you know, I think just a bed of arugula with a little salad dressing or lemon on it, and there you go. It's pretty, not too bad.
Okay.
Or you could take some eggs, hard-boiled eggs, and cut them up and put them on top of that.
Okay. Well, boy, I got lots of it.
All right. I've never tried wilting arugula like spinach, and you might try that. It's got a little spicy, you know, flavor to it.
Yeah.
A little sausage with, we'll come up with some stuff. Sausage and mushrooms and wilted arugula in a skillet. How's that?
I planted it for one reason. The best Cornish game hen or quail I've ever eaten were dusted in a pecan flour, deep fried, laid on top of a bed of arugula with a molasses gravy syrup.
Mm.
I tell you, you slap your mama for a second helping.
That sounds pretty darn good.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's give that a whirl.
Then we've got, this is the last broadcast before Christmas. Plants are a big part of our
absolutely
holiday season. Obviously Christmas trees, but you know, if you're new to Arizona, maybe you've never seen a Christmas cactus. All the nurseries are supplying them, and then you have poinsettias are very popular. And I don't know, how did something so tropical become so tied into the winter holiday?
Well, I think it's just the color. You know, it's red. The foliage turns bright red, so you know it's good Christmas color. And not being in a lot of parts of the country, color right now is white or gray, you know. So if you've got a really brightly foliaged red leafed plant that will brighten up your decor, it's of course, you know, very striking. Over the years they've developed lots of other colors of poinsettias, from white to pink to multicolored, and so that, you know, there's all kinds of options there too. But
I did that one year. It's just not the same as going with the red.
Well, red certainly is still always the most popular by a long shot. But yeah, mixed in. If you've got a big display of them, they're kind of neat. But something they were doing, I haven't seen it lately much, is they were actually airbrushing or painting some of the other colored poinsettias with, you know, some glitter and different things in them. I wasn't a huge fan of that, but you know, whatever it takes to make you know, the decor work the way you want it to work, you can. And a Christmas cactus, you know, we had customers that had Christmas cactus that were several generations old that had been handed down from generation to generation. So they're kind of neat from that standpoint. Is you could have a Christmas cactus that's, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could. Now, none have ever survived that long at my house, but you could.
Well, that's the first generation's got to make it work.
All right. Well, let's get to the phones. The calls are lining up at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Taylor in Phoenix is going to start us off. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Doing well.
Very good. I have a simple question. My wife and I are re-landscaping our backyard, and we've had quite a bit of tractor work come in, and essentially we have a clean slate of dirt in the backyard. We did not have any grass removed. There was just the regular weeds from this time of year, and I'm curious, I really don't want to waste too much time or money regarding weed retention as far as fabric or plastic, but I wanted your opinion. Is it worth the time or money to put those things down? We are putting in rock in the backyard, and I just wanted to know the best direction as far as the future-wise regarding weed prevention or retention.
In my opinion, no, it's not. Simply from the fact that you can put the fabrics down and then put the rock on top, and over the course of time, there'll be enough dust and dirt here in Arizona collect in that rock on top of that fabric that you will have weeds growing on top of that fabric anyway. So you're still going to have to use pre-emergent herbicides or just be resigned to pulling weeds and getting rid of weeds. It's very hard to use a weed eater or a mechanical device to get rid of weeds if you've got weed fabric under that rock, because you're snagging it all the time and pulling at it. So I am not a fan of it. And if you had Bermuda grass there before, it'll grow right through it anyway. So I'd save my money and the aggravation. It's harder to work with. It's harder to make the rock cover go on top of it. I don't think from that standpoint. Now, if you've got severe slopes and you want to use it to kind of stabilize the slope and different things like that, then there might be some validity to it. But I am not a fan of it. I think you're much better off using preventative measures like pre-emergent herbicides.
You used to see those fabrics going in on landscapes in about the 90s and early 2000s. I haven't seen a professional landscape job go in with that plastic underlayment. And
well, you know, your dad will remember back in the day, we used just plain old black Visqueen. Mm-hmm. Talk about a dumb thing to do. And we sold and used miles of that stuff. Under, you know, when rock landscapes were first coming in, and those were terrible too, green rock and white rock and turquoise colored rock and, you know, all that stuff. Oh, what a disaster.